Konnichiwa, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And this is Morning Eclectic with your host, moi, bonjour, Earth Mom. Hi, how you doing? Greetings, everybody. So it is the day of the full moon. We got a full moon coming up in Capricorn a few minutes after midnight tonight. I don't know if you're feeling it. I'm not quite feeling it. Usually get pretty antsy and crazy during the full moon, or maybe that's just my norm, and maybe that's why I'm not super feeling it. I don't know. Got a show today with our friend Chandra from Integral Yoga. We're going to talk to her about what's going on there and about the full moon and special celebration on the full moon. And then we're going to go to England and we're going to talk with Mickey Vermoosh after we talk to Chandra. Don't know what kind of week you had. Mine was pretty cool. I got to interview Dr. Bruce Lipton, the man who wrote, the scientist, the PhD, who wrote Biology of Belief. And I always thought, wow, this guy is so cool, so nice. And, you know, sometimes when you meet someone that has celebrity and maybe they don't always seem to be the same as you perceive them to be. Well, I have to say, Bruce was all that and more. This guy's really cool, and I can't wait until you hear this interview. I'm just so psyched. I'm delighted to have spoken with him. You know what? But before we go to England, let's hang out here in NYC with Ms. Chandra from the Integral Yoga Institute. Good morning, Chandra.
Good morning, Earth Mom. Good morning, New York. Hope everybody's starting out on a good day today.
Yep. How are you doing?
I'm doing great because it's the day of the full moon, and my spiritual name of Chandra means moon.
I just thought that. Yeah, girl.
I always love a day of a full moon.
Yeah, me too. I'm on top of the moon phases, and a lot of times the moon signs, because it changes astrological signs about every 2.5 days, you know, and we're going to full moon Capricorn.
Well, that's very exciting, and we have a couple of celebrations tonight at Integral Yoga about the full moon.
Oh, so, tell us about them, please.
Well, one that is very special is it's an ancient tradition that on the full moon in July, people honor their spiritual teacher. It's called Guru Purnima, Purna meaning fullness. So it's the full moon where we honor the Guru. And, of course, at Integral Yoga, we honor Sri Swami Satchidananda, the yoga master whose teachings form the foundation of Integral Yoga. Last year we celebrated 50 years of sharing these teachings. So tonight from 5:30 to 7, we have our Guru Purnima celebration with Swami Chidananda, a lifelong disciple of Swami Satchidananda, and Reverend Sam Rudra Swartz, who's an Integral Yoga minister, along with Sumati Bates, a longtime Integral Yoga teacher. And There'll be a video shown of Swami Satchidananda. There'll be some sharings and talk about his teachings and a worship service called a puja, where we all just worship the light. And the light is a symbol of peace and happiness in every one of the world's faiths. So it's a beautiful event. It's welcome and open to everybody. So come and join us at 227 West 13th. And then right after that at 7:45 is full moon chanting. And this is another long tradition where on the night of the full moon, Sumati Bates and a group of very wonderful musicians lead a musical concert and chanting to celebrate the moon. We also do it for the new moon, which is halfway in between the full moons. And so that starts at 7:45, and it goes for an hour, and it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful sense of community and a great gathering that just celebrates what we all have in common, this quest for peace. And you know, that quest for peace is so interesting because we don't have to look any further than inside ourselves.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
So it's going to be a great night, and we invite everyone to come to West 13th Street.
It's funny. Integral Yoga is so much like home, and it's by donation, and you guys are so welcoming to everyone. Just such good vibes there. Man, I didn't even realize, you know, having you on the day of the full moon and on this auspicious day, and your name's Chandra. I forgot all about that, but couldn't have been any more perfect.
Well, as always, it is perfect to be on your show. I always enjoy talking to you and to your audience.
Good, good, good. What else is coming up? I know you've got Satya Bharat there.
Yes.
Tell
that
us about
is
that.
A great honor. We are so proud to be a leading location for sound healing in all of its different forms.
Yeah.
We've had a long association with Grand Gong Master Don Conroe and the many gong masters that he has trained at Integral over the years.
Including me. Yeah.
Including you,
yes.
Yeah. And then Satya Bharat is a world-renowned master of Tibetan bowls. And he will be with us in this coming week to do a Tibetan bowls. It's called Tibetan Singing Bowls, Mind, Body, Spirit, Detox, and Alignment. That's on July 10th, which is Monday. Mm. And then next weekend, the 15th and 16th, he's doing a training. So anybody, it's open to anybody interested in learning about these beautiful, amazing Tibetan bowls and how to use them for sound healing, either as a practitioner, a yoga teacher, a massage therapist, a healer, or even just for yourself.
Yes.
To take
yes.
some time and just enjoy the sounds of those bowls. Sound healing is both very ancient and yet scientifically proven to really realign your vibrations in your body and keep you tuned into your own peace. So we are always excited to welcome him, and the sounds of those bowls just echo through the whole institute for a whole weekend next weekend.
Yeah, you guys had good vibes to begin with, but with all this sound healing, just taking off. And I got to put a plug in for me. It's not really a plug, but about, must have been 6 years ago, I did a video interview with Satya Bharat. And that is on my YouTube channel, Earth Mum, EARTHMUM, and you can see him. And he's a wonderful man. He really is.
Oh, he is wonderful, and he's so knowledgeable and so dedicated to helping everybody learn these techniques and to just be himself an instrument of peace.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
It's great.
And you know what? When we were talking, I asked you if you guys were having your street fair this year, but you gave me some really cool news about what's going, how that's evolving. So why don't you tell everybody about that?
Yeah, we're very excited about this. We're not going to do the street fair this year, but we will do it next year in partnership with this newly formed West 13th Street Alliance that Integral Yoga is one of the founding members of this new, it's a block association, but even more, it's an alliance of the four really important healing centers that exist on this one block between 7th and Greenwich Avenues on 13th Street, mm-hmm. the Lenox Health Center, which is an amazing, wonderful place that people count on when they are in need of not just emergency care, but other kinds of care. And then we've got the Church of the Village on the corner of West 13th and 7th Avenue, which operates a food pantry and kitchen and helps lots of people in need. As you move west on the street, the LGBT Center, which is just an anchor for service mm-hmm. and works to provide service to the gay community and has a beautiful building, used to be a school and now is beautifully renovated. And then, of course, Integral Yoga Institute, which has been on West 13th Street for since 1970.
Wow.
And so we've formed this alliance, and we've already got 100 members, some of whom don't even live on the street. They're just people who appreciate that block, who come there to one of the four centers, and also so many residents, many of whom have lived there for decades. So people who love that street are now becoming members. We've already done a beautiful planting. New iron grates were put around all the trees about 2 years ago. And we've planted for the summer. We're getting ready to plant lots of tulips again in the fall for next spring. And we also address issues of safety and cleanliness and litter and all kinds of things to really support what this block is all about. It's unique in its healing goals for the whole community. So everyone is welcome at all of these centers, and we're excited to be on the ground floor of this new alliance. And as I said, all four of us next year will sponsor a street fair that will be very diverse, have all kinds of events and some yoga for children. We've also on this street got the wonderful preschool called Buckle My Shoe serves preschoolers, and where our teachers teach yoga to these adorable little children. So it's an exciting time for the block.
I'm really happy to hear that. That's going to be one hell of a street fair. And, yeah, West 13th is one of my favorite streets. It really is. So all good news.
Yeah, it's all good news. It's really important for all of us at any time to get involved in the community around us.
Yep.
And, again, to go back to the teachings of Swami Satchidananda, one of his most important teachings was the power of community, of coming together mm-hmm. and supporting each other on the path, whatever path of life we are pursuing, to just have that connection and community and to know each other better and to love each other. I hope that doesn't sound too sappy, but it's really important.
But it's true.
Yeah, it's important to recognize the ways in which we are similar,
yep.
and to celebrate the ways that we're different. You know, it's wonderful that we come from different parts of the world, different cultures, different faiths, different bodies and faces. And the one thing I'm so proud of at Integral Yoga is that we make yoga accessible to everyone.
You do.
I always tell people, if you think you can't do yoga, come to Integral Yoga and we will show you whether you want to do it in a chair or on the floor, whether you want a classic integral yoga class or take a gentle class,
Chandra,
or restorative.
Yeah. The next show I so want to do with you, we're going to do it on accessible yoga. Right now, I got to say adios, my friend.
Adios.
But, do please promise me you'll come back, and I want to go through the accessible yoga program and some of the programs that you're doing with children and with children in foster homes and things like that, because you guys are doing some marvelous stuff, okay?
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me on, and I wish everybody a beautiful day and enjoy the full moon.
Thanks, darling. Be well.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Later. Okay, we're going to listen to a little bit of music. We're going to listen to Gypsy Jazz, and then we're going to be talking with Mickey Vermoosh. And if you want to call in to ask Mickey a question about the paranormal, it is 347-335-0818. Gypsy Jazz by Minor Swing, a little bit of it anyway. My next guest, Mickey Vermoosh, is a son of a true Romani family, and Mickey is highly regarded and affectionately known as Gypsy Boy. He's worked in spiritualist churches throughout the world since a young age, and now at age 60, he is proud to declare, quote, "I give proof that loved ones who have passed away are still very much around," unquote. Recently, Mickey gave a private reading to the Reverend Diana Fearn of Staten Island, New York. She said later, "Mickey assisted me through some very dark times. His easygoing manner and genuine sincerity shine through in every word he speaks. He has given his life to assist others and asked for nothing in return. This man has been truly blessed by God and his angels." A top U.S. star is quoted as saying, "I turned to Mickey when Mom passed away. I fled from media attention and only trusted Mickey with my whereabouts. He has the most amazing gift and is truly compassionate individual." Mickey Vermoosh, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Good morning, New York.
Good morning, Mickey. Nice of you to come on with us today. I know you're busy. Gosh, I just want everybody to know about you and what you're doing and your story. I find your childhood so fascinating.
Well, it's just a normal childhood, really. To most people, even in the United States, the backwards community, southern states will probably understand and more the kind of life that I had. Being brought up in a small community, living in a caravan, or as we call it, a trailer, as you call it, I believe. Mm-hmm. Very, 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 very sparse. There wasn't a lot of bed to sleep in, and water had to be drawn from a well, so there was no mod cons, and in the winter it was very, very cold.
Oh, it must have been. Did you travel around? Did you travel around, or were you in one place?
The caravan that we lived in was sighted on my father had to work 2 days a week to pay the rent.
Mm-hmm.
On the site, but as a gypsy, my dad travelled wherever he could get a day's work.
Mm-hmm.
The landowner offered my dad a job mm-hmm. working for him, and my dad refused it because he could earn more money actually sort of doing day-to-day work. I think that's the independence in myself, and it's independence in these ethnic communities.
Mm.
It just takes you to stand on your own 2 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. You told me a story once, which I found fascinating, about you sitting by the tree. Would you tell us, everyone, about that? Because I think that is so cool.
Yes, I certainly will. My introduction to the the kind of work I do now started at a very, very early age. I was probably only 3 or 4 at the time, and my mum said to me, go and sit behind that tree. So I sat behind the tree, but it didn't come with an instruction book. There was no telling me what I'd do when I sat there or what I was to feel. So I sat there for some considerable time. I remember it being quite a cold morning, and my backside was getting quite cold and wet. I remember my mum asking me, do you feel anything? I said, no, Mum, I don't. She said, well, sit there till you do. So I sort of sat behind this tree. I thought, well, I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to feel here. So after a while, I suppose I began to take notice of my surroundings, and I could feel the tree moving against my back. And I could hear it squeaking, you know, the branches and movement of the tree was quite natural. And she said, do you feel anything? I feel, Mum, I feel the tree moving, and I can hear the branches, you know, squeaking in the tree. And she said, that's a good start. So then I was allowed to get up. I think that was the first time I would have become aware of my senses.
How old were you?
I was about 3 or 4 at the time.
Get out, you were that little? Yeah. Wow.
Very young.
Yeah, yeah, that's really, really young. Wow, and do you have a sense of how long you might have been there with your back to the tree?
I was certainly there well over an hour, well over an hour. I didn't have a clock or a watch. We had one pocket watch in the caravan, but I have no way I would have known, because you got up in at daylight and went to bed when it got dark.
Yeah.
In those days, it was very much the season dictated what you did. So I was probably there for well over an hour anyway.
Wow. So, I mean, basically you lived off the land, on the land, right? Did you grow vegetables and things too for food?
Well, it was kind of subsistence farming, well, as far as we were concerned, poaching, fish, game, and sometimes if there was nothing else, you probably went hungry if you didn't have, look around for a roadkill, something that had been killed, deer or whatever, you know, you ate whatever there was. So that's how it was. You can have a pocket full of money, but if there's no shop to buy anything, it's useless. I think the shops and stores at that time in the early 50s where we lived were very, very few and far between. And when it got to about 5 o'clock, they were all closed anyway.
Wow.
So, you know, you had to learn to stand on your own 2 feet, so to speak, from a very early age and provide for yourself and your family.
That's really cool, but I'm sure it was not easy by any means. What part of England was that?
We're talking around Lincolnshire, in the Lincolnshire area, Scunthorpe and the Humber side, near the Humber Bridge.
I'm sorry, I don't know where that is. Would that be north or south?
Well,
or?
It's on the east coast, near the Humber, near Hull, near the River Humber.
All right, I got more of a sense of that. Wow. No. Wow. And then would you say then you were born with the psychic gift, that it ran in your family, or was it through the training starting at such a young age that, you know, you developed this deep intuition?
My mother had it, and it's been in our family for since about 1300-1400. It's been, family with traveling tailors. It's been in the family for many, many generations, been passed down from mother to son or mother to daughter. I really carried it on. I was in the military, learned to remote view. But what really fetched it out was when I was in the children's home, because my father passed a spirit quite young, and people weren't living in a gypsy existence. The welfare were not going to let us be brought up in that, so they took it away and put it in a home, you know.
Yeah.
Which didn't do me any harm, really, because I saw a lot of things. The warden of the place, because I used to see things quite often. I tell people and they look at me like I was flaky, you know.
Mm.
He had me taken to a psychiatrist and a psychologist who both pronounced me sane.
Good, you're lucky.
They said I probably had a photographic memory or I was a good listener or I had a good memory. But the footnote on the, what they couldn't explain is how I told them was true or how it would come true.
Yeah.
So when I wanted to, when I was getting sort of to the age where you had to be thrown out of the children's home coming to sort of 16, 17,
mm-hmm.
Two things happened to children and children's homes. You either join the military or you end up in prison, in jail. So I decided I wasn't going to go into jail, so I joined the military. So the warden had to write a letter to the military explaining that I probably had some mental deficiency because I was seeing things. They at that time the remote viewing was coming in from the 1960s, so they were already pre-warned about me having a psychic gift. So sort of instead of spending Wednesday afternoon running around the football field, I spent it in the education centre playing cards, you know, guessing
mm-hmm.
cards.
Mm-hmm.
Guessing shapes on cards. Most people get two or three. I was getting seven and eight right. So obviously, they made a right choice. So that's basically how I come to do what I do now.
Wow. Yeah. Remote viewing is big here as well. I mean, there seem to be a bunch of, people that were in the military and now they're teaching it a lot to the general public.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you incorporate, well, actually, would you give an explanation of what remote viewing is?
Remote viewing, it comes in many different ways. It might be taught a little bit differently now in the US than it was when I was. It's about reviewing people's houses, homes. People can send things. They can from a certain part of the world. One of the tests I was given was I was taken to a place in the middle of nowhere, sat at a desk with a piece of paper, and the instructor said to me, "Right, can you tell me what's in the next room?" And I thought, "Well, why don't you just go and have a look?" You know. And he said, "No, I want you to tell me." So I said, I thought about it for a minute. I said, "There's a chair." And he said, "Well, where is the chair? Draw it." I said, "It's near the door." And he looked through the door and he said, "Okay, we'll see you next week." So I went away and I thought no more of it. And a couple of weeks later, I was picked up again and taken to another place. A gentleman said to me, at 12 o'clock, someone from another part of the world is going to send you an image. And we want you to write it down. The 12 o'clock come and he said, "Have you got anything?" I said, "Well, I think I have, yeah." He said, "Well, write it down." So I drew what I got. It looked like a granddad clock,
mm-hmm.
A tower block. So that's what I wrote down. And he said, "Okay, very good. We'll see you again." And I didn't hear nothing for quite a while. And then I was picked up one day and taken to this farm is the only way I can describe it. And you have the typical scientist there, you know, hair all over the place, glasses on the top of his head, looking very, very scruffy, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing he said to me is, "Can you sign this?" I said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "It's the Official Secrets Act."
Whoa.
I said, have I done anything wrong? He said, "No." He said, "But we can't proceed until you sign this."
Hang on one second, Mickey. You're listening. Hang on one sec. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. I'm Earth Mom, and this is Morning Eclectic, and I'm talking with my guest, psychic remote viewer Mickey Vermoosh. Thanks, Mickey.
That's fine.
So you signed the paper.
Yeah, and that was it, really. That was how it started. And the rest of it's like academic, really. It was You can, things have changed slightly because remote viewers have been asked to what they see on Mars. When I was being trained, it was called psychic espionage.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the, when I did my paranormal training, I did 10 years ago, I got a book that said it was all things paranormal, and remote viewing is actually in it. And I don't want to say too much about this. There is a picture of the Twin Towers. This book was printed in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a picture of the Twin Towers actually being attacked. So some remote viewer has actually picked this up, and it's actually in this book, and it's quite states at the front of the book it was printed in 1998. So that will just give you, I can actually prove that. I can actually send you a photo of this. And if you actually go on my Facebook, it's actually there. So there's a video that shows it. So that will just show you just how close remote viewers can get.
Let's tell the truth. Yeah. Let's tell everybody what your Facebook is. It's Mickey, and your last name is Vermooch. Is that correct?
That's
Mickey,
right. Okay. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So if anyone wants to see, and if anyone wants to call in, you have a question about remote viewing, about Mickey, even an intuitive question, you can call us up at 347-335-0818. But meanwhile, the remote viewing's really something. You know, they did a film here, about, 10, 15 years ago, maybe more. What was it? Men Who Stare at Goats, I think, with George Clooney, about the remote viewing. And I've gone to one class about it, and it's kind of interesting. It really is. And I guess they still use it in the Army. I mean, I don't know. Now everything's more secretive. You know what I was just thinking? When you were growing up, and I mean, sadly, you were taken away from your family, and I think social services here and there just kind of judge by sometimes the wrong criteria of what makes a home and what makes a good life for a child. But that said, I couldn't help thinking you must have been fortunate, because nowadays, you know, if you're a little bit outside of the norm, everybody wants to kind of give you drugs to make you, like, walk the straight line or be like everyone else, or, you know, at least you had some leeway where they said, well, he's got a photographic memory. You know, they didn't try to totally label you as nuts.
Yeah, I do feel that today is a double-edged sword, if you like, because although they would try to do that, there is a lot more people who are a lot more informed about the psychic entity within the psychic community, and because this is the UK, you know, people are very, very, what's the word, closed-minded. They're not as open-minded as you are in the United States, and this is why I love talking to people from the United States and probably from the rest of the world. People over here can be so bigoted and so closed-minded, you know.
Just an observation on my part from, you know, being on both sides of the pond. You guys have, I mean, if you were going to look at populations, you guys have so many spiritualist churches. I think the occult's the wrong word, the paranormal, I think, has always been more accepted in the UK than here. Now it's different. Now, you know, you have this whole thing with New Age and spirituality, and it's coming up a whole different way. And I guess things are just growing the way they grow in each place. But somehow it seems you guys have always been even more tapped in, and for a much longer time.
I do believe that. Wherever you believe that this movement started from, my family were doing this long before spiritualist churches came along.
Mm.
And the same with the Inuit community, who have shaman.
Oh yeah.
And the same with the Plains Indians, yeah, who have medicine man and various other people. It's exactly the same thing. I will say that I do work in spiritualist churches, but I am more of a shaman than I am a medium. I was brought up out. I did all my training outside. Never sat in a dusty classroom and sort of learned to pick up that way.
Yeah.
In some ways, the spiritualist churches of the UK and I don't see eye to eye,
uh-huh,
on some things, but I do teach what I, if I'm teaching a class, I will teach what I have to teach for that organisation. But my classes that I teach development to do not sit inside of a classroom. Everything is done outside. And I do strongly believe in the ethnic community, that the way should be carried on. Very much so with the Plains Indians. They are entitled to live their lives the way they want.
Yes.
Same as any other community.
Yep.
And I do believe that whatever people think, that their way of life is as valuable as mine, yours, or anybody else's. And they are entitled to their right, wherever they are in the world, Australia, New Zealand, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And we should respect that, and we should respect their customs. And maybe in return, people will learn to respect ours as well.
You couldn't have said that any better, yeah. And then we'll all respect each other and stop all this war and insanity.
I agree with.
And grow together as well, because we have a lot to learn, yeah, from the people that live close to the earth.
I'm not any way connected to any political party. My feelings are my own.
Mm-hmm.
My spiritual beliefs are my own. I believe that everything that you do and standing up for Mother Earth, I've always believed. I was always taught by my father at a very early age, and by my mom as well, that females are connected to Mother Earth and are very, very important. My father always said there isn't such a thing as woman's work, son. You should be able to do it yourself. Your mother's a very, very important person in your life. Don't undervalue the importance of a female. A house is made of bricks and beams, and a home is made of love and dreams, and a female, mm-hmm, will turn a house into a home. She's very connected to Mother Earth. She's very intuitive, probably a lot more than what males are, and probably a lot more than I am. And I do believe in the power of femininity. I do believe that females will one day bring some kind of sanity to this earth, because they are connected with it. How many times have you stood in a queue, probably in a drugstore, and looked across at somebody and said, there's something about him that I don't like, and then found on later on that he did something that, you know, was against the law. So, you know, the feelings that you females have are there. And I strongly believe that a lot of what I do is I've had to work at. But within you females, it's there instinctively. And it goes back to the days when we lived in caves, perhaps, you know, living on your instincts, wild animals, the people coming to cover what you've got, I don't know. The husband would probably be out hunting while the wife is at home looking after the children. So it's living on your instincts, isn't it? You know, that's what I was taught as a young gentleman, and this is still what I believe to this day.
Well, I think you would say yes to this. Men have instincts as well. I think sometimes men are just taught not to value them, or taught more to do what they think they have to do and live a certain way to meet certain criteria and standards in the world. And maybe sometimes women have a little more leeway. Yes, women can definitely be more intuitive, but we all have our heart center, and to go to that, to discern for ourselves and the feelings that we get, and we all get gut feelings. There's no doubt about that.
I totally agree with you, Helena, that everybody has these feelings, this intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe, I can't speak for the male in America, but certainly over here, that it's not macho. It's not the Rambo thing to do, is it, to be in churches or talking about the dead? I mean, very yeah. much the case over here that when you die, you get on with it, you know. I mean, I know cases where females are lost babies, you know, and then you got to work, you get on with it, you forget about it. Well, that's not very much the case, and I counsel so many young moms who are crying inwardly. And in one case, actually took her own life because she blamed herself. She couldn't talk about it. She was just told to get on with it. Now, that to me, that is totally wrong. You know, the feelings, it's like a ripple. You took a stone in the pond, and the ripples reverberate outwards. So therefore, you need to talk about it. It's the same as post-traumatic stress as anything else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. We can't negate our feelings. It's wrong. You can't do that.
No, I totally agree. I think that a female that's looking after a home or and probably a young family has got enough stress on her hands without having to cope with the loss of a loved one as well. You know, and so this is where I feel I do believe that some men ought to come into the real world and just see, you know, some people can't face it, you know, they don't want to know about the spirit world. They think it's quite frightening.
Yeah.
And there's some people it is, you know, paranormal is quite, but there's two different things. The spirit world, talking about someone who's passed over, is not the paranormal. There are two different subjects. Paranormal investigation is something I do for a hobby, and talking spiritually to someone about something that happened is two totally different subjects.
Would you talk about the paranormal investigation? Because I get this picture in my head of Ghostbusters, so I don't think that's what you do. But well, would you tell us about the investigations that you do and where you do them?
The one that probably everybody will know me for is working at Pinewood when they were making that Bond film.
Pinewood Film Studios in the UK. A lot of films are made
down
there,
at Pinewood.
Right?
I'm the gentleman that found Elizabeth Taylor's ghost.
Why don't you tell us about that?
That's what they said. But there was so much more to it than that. I was taken down there. A director said to me, if you can do what you say you can do, we're going to give you your own TV show. So I was picked up and taken down there. It was pitch dark, didn't know where I was going. And was immediately thrust into this great big place. I didn't know where I was. And I saw a staircase in front of me, and I was walking up the staircase. Well, I immediately saw one person walking behind me that I stopped and walked past me, and another one walking down the staircase. And the one walking up was obviously Elizabeth Taylor. And that was the story that hit the headlines and went around the world and still reverberating around the world. The other one is when I went into the picture gallery. There's a photograph on Facebook of the picture gallery, and it's just been where we were, the Hetherington Hall was Spectre HQ, so it had been stripped. There was no portraits on the wall at all in the portrait gallery, and the director said to me, okay, which portrait's missing? And I looked, there wasn't one. There's no portraits at all. He said, no, so when the portraits are here, which portrait is missing? And all I hear was, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. So I said, it's Vivian Leigh, you know. And he looked at me astounded and said, well, how did you come to that conclusion? I said, because I've just heard, you know, frankly, my dear, I don't give it. Gone with the wind, Vivian Leigh. And he said, you're absolutely right. I was absolutely blown away by it. So, and then as the filming was coming to a closure, he said to me, "Give me something definitive about this building, about Pinewood that, you know, nobody else knows."
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, I thought for a minute, I thought, well, there's been a treaty signed here, and he said, "Oh, no. I've worked here through all the 50s and 60s or wherever long he'd been there," and he said, "I've never known of a treaty being signed here ever in my life." I said, "Well, that's what I'm getting anyway." So about 2 hours later, it came back, and he said, "I owe you an apology." He said, "There has been a treaty signed here."
When?
Said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "It was a treaty that made it Ireland independent from England in 1921.
Mm.
So I thought that was quite significant that people there didn't know about that. So that was quite a turning point for me as a paranormal investigator and obviously a medium as well.
Did you get your TV show?
We started filming it, but I think we're ground to a halt at the minute.
Ah. Do you expect that it's going to pick up and get it going, or?
Well, I hope so, but at this time, I'm just quite happy doing what I'm doing. I went to Belgium, France, and Germany last year to do something for 100 years of the Battle of the Somme.
Mm-hmm.
We did something there, did some filming down there for various agencies,
okay.
And I work with various. Paranormal groups doing stuff, so it's quite exciting. But I quite like being on the radio and working with live people, giving live readings. That's what I enjoy. Comfort to people.
Actually, we do have a caller, but we're going to have to like keep it kind of short because we're getting towards the end of the show. So if we could do something in 5 minutes or less, that'd be good.
Okay.
Hi, who's calling?
Hi, it's Maxine.
Hey, Maxine. Good morning, darling. Here's Mickey, if you want to ask him a question.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
How can I help you?
Oh, you're doing readings?
Well, do you have a question for Mickey? Yeah, if you like, or if you want to have a question about paranormal or about spiritualism or psychic stuff.
Hello?
I just had a question. Well, just wanted to know if I thought he just did readings as far as what's going to happen. I'm in a business, and I want to know how go for me.
Okay.
Okay. I feel like I've got a lady that's linking in with you right away, and she's telling me that things have stabilized with you right now, and things that you're actually looking forward to moving on. So I guess that you've identified something in your life that you either needed to change or that you want to do something with. I do feel as though there are certain questions that you're asking yourself about a situation that you're in. I'm not going to say too much because this is an open radio show, but I do feel that events have shaped your life, and there must have been something that happened to you 18 months ago that has definitely shaped the situation around you at this time. Can you understand that, please?
Well, nothing I can recall that happened really different. I just started a business.
I actually do feel the situation around you at this time, you are moving forward, and the situation that you are in is actually beginning to move forward, and I do feel that the truth behind the symbolisms that you are looking at the minute is improving the situation, whether it's a home situation or a work situation. I'm not quite sure, but I do know maybe it was a chance meeting, maybe it was a situation around you. I don't know, but I do know the situation around you has brought outside influences onto your situation where you are at the minute, and situations are changing with you, and are, I would suggest to you that you are either looking for a new job or looking for a new home, or probably both. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, a little, yeah. I am trying to move forward in a different job, a different business,
Thank you. This is exactly what I was picking on. This is what I was linking in with the lady in spirit with you, and I am aware. Maybe it might have been 2 years ago. I'm not going to be quite precise with this, but there's something that happened to you or a decision you made around about that time that I do know that is changing your life and is forcing you to change your life for the better. I will say to you that a resume that you are about to put in, if you haven't put in already, will be successful. I do know that there are two skills that you are quite qualified at, and that you are very articulate and very caring and very good at what you do. I also feel that you are worked to a very, very high standard as well. And this hasn't gone unnoticed to people around you. So I would say to you that it won't be long before you are very successful in acquiring a new work.
Well, that's true. I am, trying to change what I'm doing, trying to better myself in this new job.
You.
It's forcing me
thank
to
you.
Do that. It definitely is.
If I can help you more, you can link me on Facebook, or you can find me on Blog Talk Radio on that goes out live on Monday across the United States. I'm quite willing to give you a more in-depth reading. It's quite obviously that I can link in with you, this is one of the things that I love about this work that I do. I do feel that outside influences are working with you at this time and not against you. And I do know that there will be a positive outcome very, very soon. I heard on the show they were talking about the Capricorn moon tonight. And this is the right time to start thinking about doing new things with your life. I think you have a decision to make about your life as well.
Well, Mickey and Maxine, I think we're getting
okay.
near the end of the show. But, Maxine, I hope you're satisfied with that.
Okay, thanks.
Have a
Thank
great
you.
Day.
Thank you.
Mickey, if people want to get in touch with you, you are on Facebook, Mickey Vermoosh, Vermoosh. Yeah.
Right. That's the one.
Good. And when you talk to people, we have about 30 seconds left or so. We're about a minute or less. But when you talk to people, you're just talking to Maxine, do you get pictures?
I see things and hear things. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I can link in quite quickly with people. So if anyone wants to read, find me on Facebook or as I said on Blog Talk Radio on Monday.
Okay, and you may be helping us with our fund drive, too.
I will
All
be
right,
there.
Great.
I will be doing readings for you, yes.
All right, super duper. What else to say? You have any closing words?
Yes, stay happy, stay lucky, stay safe.
Thank you, Mickey. Mickey Vermoosh from England. All the best.
Take care. God bless.
God bless. So, thank you, everybody, for listening. Next week, we're going to have a show, and then we start our fund drive on July 17th. And, you can always go to give2WBAI to donate. I don't have any latest news on the Empire State Building, but I know everyone is working very hard on that. As you do know, or maybe you don't know, Bertold and Randy Credico went up to Albany and talked with a lot of state officials. I was very happy that Bertold met New York State Senator Kruger. She was very nice because she had been on the show. And we seem to have backing. And just stay with us because this is a joint effort between all of us. It's our station collectively, yours, mine, everybody here. So thank you, bless you, and be well, everybody, and I'll see you next week.
Once you feel the smile, then the ice-warm air moves by. She says the breeze provokes her sigh. The wind is love.
And thank you, Engineer Sean Rhodes.
Wind is my love. Who knows the wind? Who knows my love? We're blown.